That means glory to God in the highest. If that makes you nervous, it's the wrong lecture to be at. First page of all the books gives the reader warning. If they write complaints, I say, you were warned on the first page. Anyway, my obligation is to share with the world that which I came to realize. It came out of the essence of that which we are as a knowingness. When the mind stopped talking many years ago, after sort of a phenomenal inner experiences, the mind became silent, and instead there was an infinite knowingness in the prevalence of a condition. So I call it a condition, a state or a condition in which the personal self is no longer relevant or of any interest in this sort of historical phenomena rather than a current reality. Therefore, inasmuch as there's no person speaking to you, you'll be tolerant of the way that things are languaged. So this phenomenon occurred, and that led to leaving the world and spending some years in silence and meditation. And then through kinesiology, then I discovered a phenomena, and that phenomena then allowed for calibrating the levels of consciousness. The phenomena is innate to life. Life, in order to survive in its earliest form, the protozoa. See, the animal kingdom has no source of energy within itself. It has to go outside of itself. This is very fundamental. As you see, the evolution of the ego starts, let's say, with the protozoa or the amoeba. And how can it survive? It doesn't have chlorophyll like a plant that just sits in the sun and thrives. If it doesn't get energy from out there, nutrition out there, it dies. Consequently, one principle of life is you have to be able to sample what's out there and recognize it for what it is. And if you make a mistake, you don't survive. So the organisms still alive in the animal kingdom have a basic intelligence in that they've learned what is beneficial to life and they've avoided that which will poison you. So that innate quality to discern is the discernment of essence. If you make the mistake and eat the wrong looking flower, you die. Mankind learned that. You eat the wrong kind of mushrooms, you're dead. So even man had to learn. So the value of the kinesiologic testing was that we discovered that the response is to the essence and not to the appearance. Mankind's dilemma throughout all of time is he's been unable to discern essence from appearance. And it isn't until the opening of the third eye of the Buddhic body, consciousness level 600 or up, that the human has the capacity to look at a thing and tell whether it is a Trojan horse or peaceniks. That a peacenik parade or are they all carrying bombs, you know what I mean? Well, we can tell, but the world can't tell, as you can see by the daily news. Take about 8 seconds to tell you who's safe and who's not safe, you know what I'm saying? So out of this arose the calibrated map of consciousness, a logarithmic scale 1 to 1,000, which includes all possibility within this domain. 1,000 is the level of the great avatars, Jesus Christ, Buddha, Krishna, Zoroaster. It's as high as you can go in this domain. Why? Because human protoplasm can't handle energies beyond that. In fact, from about 800 up, it's very difficult for the nervous system to handle that kind of energy. Gets very uncomfortable in the 800s, often quite painful and agonizing, in fact. And it only goes up to 1,000. If your consciousness goes beyond 1,000, you belong on a different realm and you leave here. You can hear your protoplasm sizzling in the sun. And it's time to let go of the protoplasmic. So because of the limitation of the human nervous system and protoplasm, it only goes up to 1,000. And as we say, archangels calibrated such high frequencies. The one who once noticed me calibrated 50,000. And a passing notice totally changed this life completely. And it was like a devastating shot of lightning. So just pray that no archangel really thinks about you too much. smoke and steam going up and a little cinder laying there. So higher isn't always better. It's only okay within an okay range. All right, so we're going to cover the basics. So the first thing, of course, is the map of consciousness, which is known worldwide. All these books we've written are in all the world's languages, and study groups utilize them throughout the world. We've used it to solve international conflicts right on the edge of ballistic war and nip that war in the bud only by knowing the absolute truth. So how to tell truth from falsehood is, of course, as Descartes said, man doesn't know whether reality is what he perceives as reality. There's res interna, and then there's res externa, the world the way it is, or nature itself. And of course, Socrates, who's my favorite old teacher, said the same thing. All men are innocent by virtue of the fact that they're unable to discern appearance from essence, truth from falsehood, and that they pursue illusion. They always pursue what they perceive to be the good. That helps us put in place then forgiveness, or Christ's statement that the only human error is one of ignorance, is the realization that because of limitation, people make errors. And the innocence of the child still resides within all of us. And that's why mankind is dupable, and programmable. Because like the child, the mind tends to believe everything that it hears. Of course, what we learn through this technique is devastating. What actually goes on in the world as compared to its appearance, of course, is quite remarkable. Although the world doesn't know what's going on, we do within a matter of seconds. The whole world studies a thing and doesn't know what the hell it's about. And I say to Susie, that's over 220. It's at 220, man. It's like, it's so simple. So the only thing is, only people who themselves calibrate over 200 can use the technique. And then they can only use it if their intention is integrous. You can't use the technique to try and prove a point, to try and get the world to agree with you. So you have to be dedicated to truth for its own sake. And then when you find out the truth, you can worry about what to do about it later. But the first thing is, you don't know what the problem is until you ask what is the truth of the matter. So our dedication is to truth, and the basis is the truth is the straight way to God. And nonlinear duality means to let go of the linear appearance of things and to align with the essence, which is the fastest way to enlightenment. The view of God then depends on your level of consciousness. Whether you see God as punitive or frightening, or whether you're an atheist and don't believe in God at all, your view of yourself depends on your level of consciousness. It doesn't depend on sociologic conditions, poverty or wealth or any of these things. Your view of yourself then is a consequence of your own level of consciousness. And these levels, we gave these useful names, the spiritualization of these, from all the way from enlightenment down to the high levels. 600 is a phenomenal level. In the human domain, very few people. Very few get to 500. Fewer yet get to unconditional love at 540. In the world's population, 0.4% of the world's population ever reaches unconditional love. People say, how can I reach unconditional love? I said, well, become an alcoholic and join AA, it's at 540. Do the Course of Miracles, the workbook is at 600. The textbook I would ignore, it's at 550 and it's got errors in it. Just do the workbook, that's all you got to do. Keep it simple. So any of those ways all depend on simplicity. The willingness to be forgiving, the willingness to live one day at a time. To put them into your life in daily application, to make them part of your life. So that means you have to give up the pleasure of condemning people. Aww. I thought we were going to pick on the Pope today. Reason is in the 400s. Love is 500. unconditional love, and beyond unconditional love. So these states, we start out with shame, disaster, guilt, apathetic, fearful, angry. We get up to this level of 200 is very critical. It's very critical because we'll see. At level 200, the willingness to be honest, self-honesty is the only requirement of any of these spiritual programs. Self-honesty automatically puts you above level 200. From here up, you're interested in the truth for its own sake. And what happens here is extremely important because the brain chemistry shifts. You shift from left brain animal instinctual dominance of the ego. The kundalini energy arises and you now shift to right brain, which sees things in a benign, processes information differently, and it also releases neurotransmitters and neurohormones that alter the way your brain physiology works. So people hoping that everybody in the world is going to get together and sing songs and dance around the maypole and we're all going to be happy is forgetting that the people below 200 have a different brain physiology, and frankly, to them, you sound like an idiot. So all the do-gooder peaceniks that want to envision a new peaceful world are forgetting that 85% of the world calibrates below 200. In America, approximately 50%. And these people have a different brain physiology, in which what you're saying to them is nonsensical, meaningless, and probably absurd, and for which you actually deserve to be killed. That makes it a little tacky. How are you going to turn this into a one peaceful world? You know, people are always saying, you know, what can I do to help the world? Well, to be quiet and mind your own business is a good start. Why? Because what actually helps the world, and with research we can prove this is true, what helps the world is your personal spiritual evolution. That's what helps the world. Your kindness to others begins to lift the overall level of consciousness of mankind, which unfortunately was up high and now it's come down again. So the consciousness level of mankind was at 190 for many, many thousands of years. Consciousness level of mankind at the time of Jesus Christ was about 100. It slowly came up to 190, and it stayed at 190 over the centuries, the 1800s, early 1900s. In this lifetime, it was still at 190. And then in the late 80s, at the time of the harmonic concordance or convergence, it suddenly jumped to 205. And it stayed at 205. The next time there was a harmonic concordance or convergence, we were giving a lecture in San Francisco. And at the exact time of this event, consciousness level of mankind went from 205 to 207. In fact, it's documented and recorded. It went to 207. Since that time, it stayed steady, and then it slowly started to decrease again. So it was at 207. Then it came down to 206, 205, and now it's come down to 204. 204, which is a little close to the line because 200 is really the critical line. Because of two things, the effect of the philosophy of relativism and all of its invasion of integrity and truth, together with the people dedicated to violence. So between violence on one side and apologists for the violent people on the other side, the world has come down. So that's not really our concern. We'll let God worry about it. Because this world is perfect. The world is perfect as it is. I don't want any world improvers here. The world is perfect. Why is it perfect? Because it offers maximum karmic potential of choice. The spirit cannot evolve unless it has choice. If you're forced to always be a certain way, there's no karmic merit. So because you take the responsibility for the evolution of your own consciousness, and every second you are making a choice, and the human spirit is sort of like a karmic track, leaves a karmic track, and I always picture that it's like a little tiny iron filing, And the infinite field of consciousness is like an infinitely powerful electromagnetic field. So that by virtue of that which you have become, you position yourself within the field. So there's no judgmental God who says you're being bad and you're being good. If you're good, we'll reward you, move you here. If you're bad, we'll put you down here. You of your own choice. Nobody steers your canoe but you. You, by your own choices and by your own agreement, more or less change the charges on yourself. Let's say this is positive and negative. I say, you're an SOB and I hate you, and then you get a little more negative, and then you say, but I forgive you, and then you go a little more positive. Because you probably don't know what you were doing, like Socrates said. On the other hand, you ought to by now, and then you move down a little bit, so you see, you're like a little thing like this, fluctuating in the electromagnetic spectrum. And the spirit is what survives when it leaves the body. It goes to that which it is. It goes to that which it is. So I agree with Freud that the negative depictions of God are projections from the human unconscious. However, Freud then went on and made a mistake. He went further than that. He said, therefore, a true God doesn't exist. No, because a false God doesn't exist doesn't mean a true one doesn't. So that's why Freud calibrated 499. The 400s are extremely powerful and important. Love is 500, joy is 540, you get up to 600. And as you reach the higher levels, unconditional love, I think, is the best goal to aim for in human life. It is reachable within the human domain. The states of enlightenment are very difficult to reach in today's world. But unconditional love then means that you leave and you move into heavenly and celestial realms, and it's certainly better than Brooklyn, yeah. So if you want to save the world, I would suggest the first thing you do is let go and surrender the world to God, which is the same thing that the great teachers have said, because the world that you see doesn't even exist. It's all a projection of your own perception. So you can let go wanting to change it, because all you're changing is your own projections that you projected out there. You're not changing anything in the world at all. Unless a man has a choice between good and evil, how's he going to transcend? You don't have any enemies, who you got left to forgive, you know? I'm a failure. I haven't got anybody left to forgive. Now what am I going to do in the Course of Miracles? Spiritual work is primarily yin. It's yang by its intention, but it's yin by its operation, by means of which I ask God, what is the answer to a thing? And then I step back and allow the space for revelation. So progress is often through, without even thinking, you just have a feeling, a knowing, or an intuition. And then if you know kinesiology, you can just check it out for affirmation. And has been very, very useful. The enlightened and divine states, the Supreme Godhead, all these things calibrate at 1,000 or over. The majority of the world's population calibrates below 200. Why doesn't the world go to pieces and just destroy itself? It gets close to it periodically. Mankind has been at war 93% of recorded time, 93%. The other 7%, he was too sick or too poor, probably. The plague was on him. Couldn't get his butt together to get out there and kill somebody. So, why doesn't the world just self-destruct? It's because it's a logarithmic scale. So, logarithmically, the advance of a few points is enormously powerful. In fact, in the United States, even just a couple of people calibrate so high, and logarithmically, the power is so great that it totally counterbalances the negativity of mankind, which would self-destruct. So those who are 200 and up, who are all here today, are keeping the world from going down the tubes. So the relative power, because it's logarithmic, is so enormous that it counterbalances the negativity. Now, we just want to show the source of the evil, of the ego. Evil, because you see, consciousness began at a very primitive level, the consciousness level. Over billions and billions of years, the consciousness level slowly arose over great earth epochs, the consciousness level of life itself, the total consciousness level of life on the planet, has evolved over millions and millions and millions of years, very, very slowly. Sometimes the consciousness level of the animals has kept it up. Even though man has been lower than 200 many times, you see there are many animals on the planet that are over 200. Aha! Somebody said, well, the consciousness level of man is at 204 or something. How come you got life is at 212? Because we got kitties, doggies. A dog's wagon tail is at 500. What did the shoe bomber calibrate at? I think about 70 to 90 or something like that. So I don't want to say anything that might hurt people's feelings. But cats and dogs do better, and chimpanzees and gorillas. You're safer with Coco, the gorilla, than you are with most of the people on the subway, I tell you. Coco won't steal your purse and run. Monkeys, the family dogs, family cats. Of course, the more cats you have, the higher your level of consciousness. Our cats support our level of consciousness at home. Without the cats, we would probably collapse. And horses and elephants, and of course, elephants get mad too. And dairy cows. These are all primarily herbivores. And when you see how life starts out at the lowest level, we come up through the fish, the octopus, the Komodo dragon, and predatory mammals, you see life is voracious. Below consciousness level 200, it only can survive by eating others, killing others. And then as consciousness level goes higher, you get to the herbivores. So you see at consciousness level 200, here we have wolves and foxes, and then all of a sudden at the level 200, you shift to zebras, giraffes, deer, bison, even domestic pigs, the elk, the dairy cows, sheep, range cattle. You see the shift, you eat grass and you're not killing anybody, whereas the dinosaur has to kill. He has to kill in order to eat, so his nature is to kill. He's not being bad or evil, that's just his nature. He's reflecting the level of consciousness. So many people on the planet who seem to be focused on killing them, it's because their level of consciousness is attuned to be less than 200. And therefore, the left brain, the instinctual left brain physiology takes over, in which killing becomes exciting, fun, and rewarding. We talked about the 400s as being, you might say, man reached his greatest intellectual excellence in probably around 350 BC. Ancient Greece, philosophically, there really hasn't been any improvement since that time. And here we calibrate the great books of the Western world, and we find it's very interesting. Overall, collectively, it calibrates around 460. So intellectual excellence, intellectual truth, reason, is in the 400s. In the old days, a liberal education meant to study all of these writers. And there is still a foundation for the study of the great books. They advise you to take 10 years. So you spend 10 years and you will then share common understanding with all the greatest minds that have ever lived, at least within the intellectual and philosophic realms. So the difficulty of something of a very low calibration is that this then starts off a trend which becomes self-propagating in the form of memes, M-E-M-E-S, becomes self-propagating. So an infection like this can then spread throughout the world. People say, how can I become spiritual? Well, I say, first just become a decent human being. Try that. Be considerate, decent, be responsible. If you say you're going to close the door when you leave, please do so. People have to be able to count on you. You have to be honest. Here's really the Protestant ethic, isn't it? No offense to Catholics or other people, but... Everything's so political nowadays, you can't say anything. Anyway, classically it's called frugality, hard work, etc. Nose to the grindstone. you tend to be moral and you live according to your own morality. It doesn't have to be the same as everybody's, but at least you have ethical standards. You tend to be helpful and easygoing, thoughtful, calm. You tend to be genuine and not fake. Respect people and you're friendly and easy to talk to and safe to be with. And if somebody lends you something, you give it back. That includes books. Also includes lawnmowers. You esteem wisdom. Wisdom is at 385. These people tend to be benign. They're safe to be with. You know, it's safe to be with them. They're as safe as cocoa. Tend to be humane, tend to be happy, sensible. They're called the soul of the earth. There are various energy fields, chakra systems. As you're all aware, there are various chakra systems. One collection of energy is at lower mind, at 155. There's another collection of energy that we call higher mind. They have two different sets of values. What one setting considers to be valid and true and ethical, the other considers to be invalid and, in fact, immoral. The lower mind, then, is very interested in sensationalism and is very gullible. It's interested in being smart, exploiting life, so you'll recognize television right away. It likes to play off the sensational. It'll take some trivial little incident that is of no significance and give it major playtime, and something that really is of profound importance and really threatens all of mankind, and they give it only a glance. 275 and up is a higher mind, and it is into thoughtful balance and sensitivity to what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. So this mind tends to look for solutions, and this mind tends to play off difficulties. So there's a big payoff here, you see, to this level mind. So 85% of the people in the world, their intellect is at this level. In America, only about 50%. About 50% of people would rather watch something gory and horrible and sensational rather than something that is inclusive of beauty, let's say, merely looking at it. So the power of consciousness was now recognized. And therefore, it was very interesting. Einstein, you see, who was a master of the linear dimension, calibrated 499, and he refused to recognize the role of consciousness, refused its reality. He said, I prefer to think there is a distinct, objective, linear reality out there. So we've calibrated all these things. So the reason is that this gives you a scientific basis to understand how the phenomenal world occurs. I always tell people, notice that everything is happening spontaneously. The limitation of the ego is it thinks there's a personal I as a cause. And based on the Newtonian principle, this causing of that, in reality, there is no this causing any that. In fact, that phenomenon is not a possibility. Because evolution and creation are one and the same thing. So what you see is the emergence of potentiality as a consequence of evolution. The reason for religious conflict is a lack of comprehension of the nature of divinity itself. It sees a God who starts here and then one day creates all there is and disappears. Then after you die, you face him on Judgment Day. I don't know where he goes in the meantime, but he goes somewhere. It's because the mind doesn't comprehend infinity. To transcend the mind, which is based on cause and effect in the Newtonian paradigm and science, you have to shift to a higher awareness. Stop projecting the idea of causality into the world. There is no causality in the world. There is none out there. All that you receive and prove and think is so out there is from your head projected onto the world. Within the world, there is no causality. There is sequence. Sequence is not in the world either. Sequence, it means you perceived it sequentially. Therefore, you project it must be in the world. It's your perception that's sequential. How do things come about? The quickest way to enlightenment is to focus then. and notice that everything is, first of all, absolutely perfect. Everything is exquisite, perfect, and beautiful as it is. And that things come about as a result of potentiality actualizing. Potentiality actualizes as a perceivable reality. So what you're witnessing always is emergence of potentiality. Witnessing emergence of potentiality. The emergence of potentiality is for this arm to rise. It's the arms to rise. It does it by itself. You think there's a you causing it? I don't have anything to do with it. It rose itself spontaneously. All is occurring spontaneously because of the emergence of potentiality as actuality when conditions are favorable. That's nonlinear dynamics, etc. When conditions are favorable, so the conditions also have to be favorable. So you don't make the flower grow. I never saw anybody that made a flower grow. Did you ever meet anybody that made a flower grow? Thank you, God. Yeah. When you plant something, you're taking advantage of what I just got through saying. And all you're doing is when you add conditions that are favorable, such as sunlight, water, and fertilizer, but the potentiality is within the seed, and it actualizes within the phenomenal world, not as causality. You can't force a flower to bloom. Also, you get rid of the idea of imperfection, because here it has the potential to become a rose. So the rose is half unfolded. Now you're going to tell me that's a bad rose, a defective rose, something wrong with the rose? No. You see, what happens is the potentiality actualizes and it opens and becomes actualized to your perception. Nothing is causing it to do that. You can't force a rose to do anything. It does it of its own because it has innate within it. Its essence is the potentiality to manifest that way within the linear domain. So all you're seeing is phenomena within the linear domain. The energy of life is non-linear, non-definable. And so what I'm working on now is to resolve the dilemma of the Scopes trial, which has to do with the argument between, is reality limited to the linear, or does reality go on to include the non-linear? The reason the Scopes trial couldn't be resolved is because they were talking about two different paradigms. The levels of consciousness go from, let's say, 1 to 1,000. Science is within the 400s, and spiritual reality starts from 500 and up. There are two different paradigms. So you can't resolve oil and water because there are two different paradigms. Science can neither prove nor disprove spiritual reality, nor vice versa. It's a different paradigm. So what I'm trying to do is create a paradigm that includes both and shows that you're just moving from one paradigm to another, and that would be inclusive of both science and religion. So you see, they're both true, and both 100% true within their own paradigms. So the ignorance there was the two sides expecting each other to agree with what is really a different paradigm of reality. It's analogous to the scale of consciousness. And how to get by duality. The world presumes there are two things when there's actually only one thing. The world sees opposites, hot and cold, let's say, or light and dark. Well, dark is the absence of light, and then bright, you can keep increasing it. It's not a matter of light versus darkness, that's only a matter of speech. Light is either present or not present, if it's not present. So it's either there or not there, which is different than seeing it as opposites. The same with heat and cold. You keep increasing the temperature and you get warmer and warmer. And finally, at a certain point, you say hot. When you say hot, is now the opposite of cold. Not the opposite. Cold is the absence of heat, it's not the opposite. Therefore, truth and falsehood, it's the same. There are degrees of truth, that's what the calibrated levels of consciousness. You can neither prove nor disprove truth because it's of a different domain. It's not in the same domain of the provable versus the non-provable. Therefore, to get beyond a lot of dualities, all you have to see is that it is merely an arbitrary scale of left or right. Are you politically left or politically right? It depends on where you move the pendulum. It just depends on the context. So as you shift from this context, this is good, and you shift to this context, this is bad. You haven't changed anything about good or bad, you've only shifted context. All right, spiritual practices. I think this is very interesting because this is, of course, a spiritually oriented group. The Lord's Prayer calibrates at 650. Om, pronounced as Om, not Om. Om is at 740.
Om.
To Thee, O Lord, do I surrender my life. Amen. Chandi, 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 650. Om Mani Padme Hum. Aren't these wonderful things you could do all day doing any of them? Gregorian chants, you know what I mean? You're wandering around one of the great Gothic cathedrals. Wandering around a great Gothic cathedral, and in the back you can hear the choir. I mean, it's a knockout. So I said, if I have to come back to this world, I'd like to be the verger in a great cathedral, like Chartres Cathedral. Cathedral of St. John the Divine. Washington National Cathedral, they're so incredibly beautiful, they calibrate 700 and up. Gregorian chants, Japa at 515, the Jesus Prayer at 525, saying the Rosary, the pilgrimage to Mecca, yogic chants, curtain, sort of popular lately, 250, 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, 540. The Golden Rule is at 405, TM 295. Prayer of Jabez, 310.